How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Said, how's everybody doing? Blessed. Everybody should be blessed because I ain't been asleep since 9 o'clock yesterday. Up ripping and running. They said it's good to be young, but you get older. So he said, that's a long time, but you got to do what you got to do. And I'm thankful to God for this, everybody that comes out and shows up, because you could have been doing a lot of different things today. You could have been gone, you could have been at a barbecue, you could have been at a movie, you could have been at a baseball game, but you decided to come to church and glory to God. Not to hear me run my mouth, but to show God that you truly do love him. And you're doing this to make heaven your home. Because there's many of people that are all in the lake fishing right now that have no clue, and probably do have a clue, but just don't care. So it's not about the numbers, always look at the faithfulness. Because the faithful ones are the ones that you want around. Because the word says, when you need prayers, it says, prayers of the righteous availeth much. So you want those righteous prayers and not those ones that said, I'll pray for you and don't even pray for you. So I'm just thankful today. But like always, before I start, I'll give y'all a little something funny. There was a husband and wife, and they argued for about a week or so. And so one day the husband decides enough is enough, so he decides to give her the silent treatment. He starts to write notes and leave notes. This is what I want for dinner. I'll have my dinner at this time. Put it here. So the wife says, okay, two can play those games. I'll write notes too. So she starts to write notes back to him. See you later. Go off to work. So and so. So one day the husband has an important business trip that he has to go to, and he tells the wife, he leaves a note saying, my flight leaves at 5, I need to be up at 3 to catch the plane. So the wife proceeds to wake up, and the husband wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning. The wife's in the kitchen eating her breakfast as usual. The husband walks in and says, what are you doing? I was supposed to be gone, you know that flight was important. The wife walked back in the room and says, this is your alarm. She shows on a note, and on the note said, this is your alarm clock. Get up, it's 3 a.m. See, he wanted to break his silence because he was upset, but sometimes it's not good to go to bed angry. She set the alarm, and he didn't even know it because it was in the form of a note. Today, if I had a title for the lesson, we've been going over this ambassadorship for quite a while now, and sometimes we get a little confused. At least I know I used to get a little confused about holding this title as ambassador. And today I would like to talk to you about title holder or spectator. See, today is a great day because we all woke up and have arrived here at church. But are we here to be spectators, or are we here to be ambassadors? Amen. See, a spectator is a person who watches an activity, especially a public event, without taking part, or a person who looks on or watches, onlookers, observer, or non-participants. Mm-hmm. See, we have people that arrive to church just because they've been going to church since they were little kids. It's been indoctrinated in them. They'll come to church and they'll be spectators. They'll sit in their same pew, same seat, and won't do anything but spectate what goes on and become onlookers. It's just like when you see an accident. You take your phone out and you record to put it on Facebook or Instagram. Not willing to go help or do anything, but willing to slow down traffic just to be nosy. Goes the same thing with the coming to church. Not willing to participate or do anything. See, some people come to church for the wrong reasons and hold titles for the wrong reasons, too. See, just like the Pharisees used to believe in holding a title or coming to church was the best thing in life. Why, you ask? I'm glad you did. Because it holds power, and many people respect you for holding a title or even coming to church. Have you noticed? I've noticed sometimes growing up, some people, especially in church folks, the first thing I like to say is, I'm pastor so-and-so, I'm elder so-and-so, I'm bishop so-and-so, this is the first lady, this is blah, blah, blah. That holds power amongst the church folks. Ain't doing nothing but holding the title. Ain't willing to get up and preach the word, but they want to hold on to that title just like the Pharisees held on to their title. They didn't want nobody else to get saved because they said, you know what? I'm the title holder. If you don't do what I do, guess what? You're out. See, as a title holder, it's more than just having this title as elder, preacher, mainly ambassador. See, church members and people often view church as a weekly pick-me-up or a good place to make friends. Or perhaps if the preaching and singing is good, church can be viewed almost like a mini concert or pep rally. But church was never meant to be a spectator sport. The church is made up of individual followers of Christ who come together to serve as one, so the gospel message can be taken into the world and God's glory can be displayed through the unity and love that is demonstrated amongst its members. See, when you understand this, you have no problem showing love to anybody. Church is not just a pick-me-up. It is a pick-me-up, but it's a pick-me-up so you can pick up other people. Amen. It's a pick-me-up to help other people. It's a pick-me-up to lift your soul. See, if you just come in here just to say, oh, well, the singing sound good, because I've been to many churches and they have bands and everything else, but this church sounds so good without anything. Many people come here and say, I've never heard people sing that good. Just the voices, just how acapella is good. Many people come here just for the singing. People get happy when Ariel I sing and come around. But is that the only reason why they're getting happy? Is that the only reason why they're showing joy and love? No, they shouldn't be doing that. That's just part of it. It becomes a lifestyle, the way you live, not just holding that title. See, I got a few. If some of us think that when you get into the water, that you sign a prenuptial agreement. Some of y'all, if y'all don't know what a prenup is, a lot of famous people get prenups, be when they get married. They go and they sign this big old contract saying, whatever you came into the marriage, you leave with what you came into the marriage with. See, sometimes when you get baptized, there's no prenuptial agreement in the church. But see, some people take it and say, you know what? I got this, this, and this that I want to add to the contract of baptism. If I don't hear what I want to hear preach, I'll miss a Sunday or two. If they don't sing the songs I want to hear, guess what? I won't sing at all. If I don't get anything out of it, then guess what? I'm going to talk bad about the church. That's not right. Not right at all. As ambassadors, if you want to help contribute, do something. We have services where we just come and sing on Wednesdays. That's the time to practice songs and put your input in. We have classes where you can say something. We got a suggestion box in the back that you can put something in without even putting your name on the paper. But yet, grumbling and complaining. For what? That's like a spectator. I'm just going to look and see what's going on and keep on complaining. See, there's no prenuptial agreement in the church. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are an important part of the body of Christ, and you have been given a critical role to play within the body. This morning, I hope to help you recognize how God has shaped you for service within His church. How many of us want to teach the next generation about God? How many of us really want to do that? You got to really ask yourself this. One thing I've learned when it comes to the man, when you have little kids, you make sure your kids are up and ready to go to school. You make sure your kids don't miss a day of school. You make sure your kids get perfect attendance. Because if you don't, nowadays they got truancy. You got to pay a fine if your kids miss so many days of school. But when it's time to come to church, we lack off. See, I use my own son and I use my son a lot because I want to use myself as an example. When it was time to go to church, little Jay had to be, if he's in my household, he had to go to church. I couldn't, because I know if I had him up for school to learn how to say ABC 1, 2, 3, he could learn John 3:16. He could learn about who saved the world, why he's coming here. So when he got a little bit older and wants to do things on his own, he do things on his own, but he's no longer in my household. See, some people don't understand heaven is real. Ezekiel 33 said the blood will be on your hands. We got to make decisions and make them fast, because we say we want to teach the next generation, but what are we doing? Let's look over at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Once again, that's Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My fault, 1 through 6. But speak though the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, tempered, sound in faith, in charity, and patient. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behave, that they be in behave as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. That's letting you know everybody has a job to do. It says, let me read it again. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be decent, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husband, to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. These are instructions that we done heard a lot. But what are we really doing with these instructions? We'll keep man laws to a T. When the speed limit say 55, we go 50. We don't want to pay a ticket. See, because we understand the consequences that man gives us. But do we really understand the consequences that God's going to give us? Just because we're not getting it, how when you get a ticket, you can argue and plead with the officer all day long. I remember one time we was coming back when I was working in Nevada, and Jessica got a ticket and she was pregnant and everything. I could have lied to the officer and said, oh, she having contractions. And the officer probably would have let us off because he seen her. He said, I'm not going to give you a ticket for going over 100. I'm going to break it down. She learned how to drive a little bit slower. But see, when it comes to God, we don't get that right then consequences, that judgment, how it used to be back in the Israelite days. See, sometimes we think, oh, we can get away with it. I can ask for forgiveness. Galatians 6 and 7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's going to come a day when you're going to reap what you sow. But see, we don't understand that sometimes. We think, oh, grace and mercy. It says God is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. We just got grace and mercy from his son, Jesus Christ, who's constantly pleading our case. See, if we can abide by man rules, how hard is it to abide by God rules? Do we become slack? Do we become lackadaisy? Do we become lazy? Or do we even really care? Does it bother our conscience? See, I just read what we're supposed to be doing for the young folks. So when you say you want to teach the young folks, remember Titus. Do you want to see the church grow, or do you want to see the church stay the same? See, these are questions I'm asking the church. Some people might say, oh, yeah, I want to see the church grow. I want to see the church grow so big, so all this whole 5 acres, we could put another building on. But if some people is like, no, that's a little too much, because now I got to put in more work. We might have to have 2-3 services now. It might take up some of my time. I don't want to be involved in all that. I just want to come here, listen to the word, take communion, put in my offering, and go about my business. These are questions that you really need to understand, because when you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47, that's Acts verse 2, verse 47, it says, praise God, and having all favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church grew daily, but they had favor with everybody. We're right in the heart of a community with neighbors and everybody else. It's a good thing to have favor with them. It's a good thing that they look and they say, this is a beacon. This is somewhere I can go when I'm hurting. This is somewhere I can go and say, you know what? I just need you to pray for me. Because I see that you go to a place of worship. I see the change in your life. I see how happy you are. I'm just down and out. There was a young lady who came here and was down and out. And guess what? The doors are open for her. See, those are things we need to be prepared for, each and every one of us, at any given time. regardless it be a child, regardless it be an adult. We need to be ready with the scripture, because God will add to the body if we do our part. But let's go a little bit further. You can also look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and also 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4. It tells you about what you're supposed to do. When you go home, read those scriptures. It gives clear instructions. Like I said, we follow clear instruction. When you go to a courthouse, I guarantee when the judge tells you to shut your mouth, you shut your mouth. You don't open your mouth. You're not in contempt of court. You live exactly what the judge say. You try to be nice to the judge. Yes, Your Honor. Whatever you say, Your Honor. Anything else, Your Honor. But when it comes to God's house, the respect goes out the door. Big difference, huh? This man done sat in a black robe and all he did was go to school. Got voted in by the people. We show more respect to him. Sad state, people. Very sad state. Because back in the days in the Holy of Holies, when a priest went into the Holy Temple and he wasn't right, they tied a rope and a bell around his leg because he fell dead if he wasn't right. And they drug him out, and guess what? Another one went in. See, we need to get back to that respect and that fear of God and not fear of man. Because guess what? A judge only could do so much for you. The Bible says, don't fear he that could destroy flesh, but fear him that could destroy body and soul. We need to get in perspective of what our title is, and are we just a spectator? See, do you think we need to come together and meet more or less? That's a big question, church. What do y'all think about that? Just ask yourself. Some people say Sunday is good enough. Once a week is good enough for my daily service to meet. The first century church teaches us something totally different. Like I said, when you go home and read all of Acts chapter 2. They met almost daily with one another. They communed daily with one another. They wanted each other to know their business. Because when they knew each other's business, guess what? They knew where they were hurting at. They knew what they can do for each other. They knew how to pray for one another. See, now we done came into a time and a place where we got to be so secretive. But when you read those things of Ambassador, that looked like a whole bunch of open stuff. Just look at the wall. A lot of stuff. There's people that put their whole life on Facebook, Instagram, and everything else. But yet we afraid to show who we really are as Christians. Well, I ain't gonna say nothing to them until they tell me they a Christian. Then I'll start talking to them about the Lord. No, wrong answer. Your light should shine all the time. Like I said, when I go to work, they look at me, where are you going today? I'm going to church. I tell them straight to their face. You gonna do all this work, you ain't gonna go home and go to sleep? Guess what? I sleep when I'm dead. And it's probably gonna be a long sleep because I don't know when God gonna come back. So you gotta understand, is it real to you, or is it just something that you just put on as a spectator? See, when you understand this, you'll understand that meeting is a good thing. But see, meeting comes from the head up. I can't tell all y'all to come here and the head not doing it. It needs to be an example set, a precedent set for everybody. We got to meet. Everybody should meet. That goes from the eldership all the way down to everybody. Because when the church sees the example being set, guess what? Everybody going to start to say, you know what? I can't complain about nothing now. If they got time to meet, we got time to meet. If they got time to come together, and I don't mean just Wednesdays and all that stuff, I'm talking about a separate time. A time where they can come together and discuss and commune and become part of one another. Where they can grow stronger. So when they come together, guess what? When they on the same page, guess what? The body got to get on the same page, right or wrong. That's what we need to understand. The example that we set. Jesus had 12 and knew Judas was going to betray him. But guess what? Judas still was there with them. Judas still had the same authority. Judas still had the same power. Jesus didn't let none of them know, even when he kissed them. He said, go and do what you got to do. Not kiss them, but when he dipped his hand in the cup, he said, go and do what you got to do. He could have easily told any of the 12 to do anything. But you know what? Jesus said, no, it's not about that. See, when the example is set for us, it's easy for us all to follow, unless you just don't want to follow it. It's up to us to really take the ball in our court. Because like I said, when you see the head doing it, it's easy. Now there is no excuse. It shouldn't be no problem in the first place. But see, when you got excuses, it makes you feel a little better about yourself. But see, and I want to pull on another thing real fast. When I was growing up, my dad was a minister. And I used to always want to boast and brag. My dad's preacher so-and-so. He does this. He built the church. He did that. All I was doing was bragging and didn't even know about it. Didn't even know what I was doing. I'm over here living my life, proclaiming who my dad is, and I'm not even living the right life. How can you proclaim to be an ambassador when you're not living the right life? See, when you look at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, once again, that's Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Before we go to Luke, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew verses 6, verse 16. See, because I used to do the same thing as what they used to do, the Pharisees. And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they put on a sad and dismal face like actors, discoloring their faces with ashes or dirt, so that their fasting may be seen by man. I assure you that most solemnly, I say to you, they have already received their reward in full. See, when they used to fast back in the Pharisee days, they would put on a show, a big show. They go around, man, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking so gloomy? Oh, I'm fasting. You know, I can't eat nothing because I'm showing God glory and respect. What's the use of your fast if you're going to go on and just tell everything? See, when you do something and you're doing it for God, you ain't got to go run your mouth or put on a show. God know what you're doing. Guess what? Everybody around you going to recognize it. But see, I used to go and brag about my father not knowing, was my father living the right life or was I just bragging to get the recognition of everybody in my community? Like I said, that title carries weight, people, especially in the church community. It carries a lot of weight. People respect that title. But see, if you're not living it, it doesn't mean anything. We've been going over this ambassadorship and we should get it by now. But guess what? There's a lot about this ambassadorship. A whole bunch more that could be said about it. Let's go back to Luke 18, 9 through 14. Once again, Luke 18, 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in him and were confident that they were righteous, posingly outward and uprightly and in right standing with God, and who viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and began praying to himself in a self-righteous way, saying, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of the man, swindlers, unjust, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing at the distance, will not even raise his eyes toward heaven, but was striking his chest, saying, God, be merciful and gracious to me, especially the wicked sinner that I am. I tell you, this man went home justified, forgiven of the guilt of sin, and placed in a place in right standing with God, rather than another man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself, forsaking self-righteous pride, will be exalted. Amen. This man went on talking about the other man and wasn't even talking about himself. He wasn't telling all his sins, but wasn't even telling about his sins. Did that sound like some of us this morning? Talking about everybody else, but not about ourselves. See, I used to be the same way. Pointing out everything else that was wrong with everybody else in the body, but not looking at myself. Not getting myself right. Doing everything that I wasn't supposed to do because I felt good. It's, you know that feeling sometimes? That human nature feeling that you get sometimes? When your life ain't going so right, but you feel good when somebody else's life is going way more jacked up than yours. Sometimes it feel good. Feel real good. But guess what? That's not the marks of an ambassador. It says the one that went proclaiming, he said, I am a sinner. I have failed to comply. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to just be a title holder. I want to be an active member of the body. I want to do something with my life. See, the Pharisee didn't understand that because he was privileged. You know, some of these people, they said they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth, never work a day in their life, get a few million dollars, don't know what it is to hold a job. Some people consider them privileged. See, I used to consider myself privileged because I grew up in a household that prayed and did everything else, but I was nothing because I wasn't living the life. My dad was living a life, but I wasn't doing anything. See, we got to understand, just because we're around other people, that doesn't make us righteous. It makes that person righteous if they're living their right. But we as individuals got to go before God ourselves. When you go before heaven, your wife, your husband, your kids, ain't nobody going to be there. You're going to be there by yourself. See, what you got to understand is a few more questions I got to ask you. Statements. Spectators really don't understand all that is involved with God's plan or the church or the true goal. See, a spectator will come here and not really understand what they're doing. They'll come use the same verses out of memory, same scripture and everything, not understanding. You're supposed to use the whole word, because when it comes to salvation, people ask a lot of questions. And sometimes it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it's going to have you in a position that you don't want to be in. That's why I ask a lot of questions. I'm glad I got a man I could call on. Brother Wallace put himself out there. Brother Henry, Brother Johnson, they all put themselves out there. If you need help, just call me. The ball's in my court now. Do I want to call them or do I want to be stubborn? We all got people we can call upon. But do we really want to do that? They told me at work, the only dumb question is not the question that's never asked. If I lack understanding, guess what I can do? I can get understanding real fast, because in Titus, it tells me what to do. Ask the older man. The woman got a job too. Teach the young people. We all got things we can do in the body. But do we want to be spectators? Because guess what? It's just like back in the Roman days. Everybody used to talk about the gladiators. Oh, they're murderers, they're killers. But yet they would go to the arena and cheer them on. Never once got in the arena, but they would go and cheer them on. Didn't want to be a gladiator, didn't want to participate, but just wanted to look on. We shouldn't want to look on, we should want to get in the arena and do something. We should really understand this. And I don't mean do like the gladiators, go on, kill people and stuff like that. So don't go say, well, Brother Baker said, I just need to go kill people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying show love. Tell somebody about it. Like Brother Harmon said, hand out a card. Do something differently. Do something that you're not normally used to doing. Show that you're not a spectator, but that you're an ambassador. See, a spectator falsely believes that he can make a difference in a church while staying in their seats. A spectator really believe that. They really believe they can make a difference just by sitting down, not doing anything. Wrong answer. Spectator participate in various churchly activities while remaining a spectator in God's mission. I'll do some of the work, but not all the work. Nuh-uh, you're asking a little too much now. I can't do all that now. I can do only so much. No. We got to do more than what we think we can do. Like I said, I ain't been asleep since yesterday, but guess what? I got a job to do. Like I said, you're going to have a long slumber when you get in that dirt. A long slumber. Need to rethink some things, church. Really need to rethink it. Are we going to change? Are we just going to keep on? Amen, brother. Good message. Are we going to really change something in our lives? Because there's a big difference between a spectator and an ambassador. Amen. And also a title holder. See, next thing, spectators tend to criticize or critique the efforts of an ambassador in God's mission. You know what? I wouldn't have went and told them that. They did it all wrong. They quoted the whole Bible wrong. But yet you ain't willing to go over there and help. You sitting there tearing down instead of building up. If you see somebody quote something wrong, what is our job to do? Aquila and Priscilla did the right thing when they showed us an example. The man was teaching about John baptism. They waited till we got done. They didn't put him on blast. You dumb, ignorant. You know what you was doing. They didn't embarrass him like that. They pulled him to the side. Hey, brother, what you was teaching about was right. But guess what? There's a better baptism. I'm going to take from my busy schedule to help you grow. And that's what we're all supposed to do as ambassadors, not as spectators or onlookers. See, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have heard the name Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali? I'm pretty sure everybody done heard of Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali in this building. Regardless if it's him going to prison, regardless, we done heard about him in some shape or form or fashion. See, both are former heavyweight champions. See, Mike Tyson and Ali both were title holders until they became spectators. See, Tyson had to give up his titles over conflict of a contract. He didn't want to fight because there was not enough money. Just go home and research it. So Tyson was forced to give up one of his championship belts. Muhammad Ali, which they used to call him Cassius, he had to give up his title when he refused to go into the military. He said, you know what, I'm not going to the draft. Take my title, strip me, and they stripped him. So he became a spectator. But better yet, when they retired, they can no longer be heavyweight champs. So they became real live spectators. See, sometimes we get to the point where retirement looks so good and we become spectators. We can never become spectators. We can never do what they did. See, people ask Mike Tyson all the time, if you can go back to boxing, he is like, I'm too old to do that now. I'm an old man. But see, the good thing about ambassadors, we got Caleb, who was 120-something years old, who went up to the mountaintop and danced, who said, glory be to God. See, age ain't nothing but a number. We put that number on that age. We put that mindset on that age. Because like I said before, when you look at Orientals, you can't even tell what age they are, and they still getting in the rice fields and doing what they got to do to survive. See, we got something better. We got salvation. We got God, grace, and mercy. We can do it all if we really want to. See, they gave up their title because they said they were forced to. All they have to do is just say, you know what? I'm going to go to the draft. But who know what Muhammad Ali would have been if he went to the draft? Nobody probably would have knew who he was. He'd have probably died over there. That was a personal decision he had to make. We all got personal decisions we got to make in life. Do we want to be a spectator or do we want to be an ambassador? Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 50. Once again, that's Acts 13, 42 through 52. When the service was over, Paul and Barabbas were invited back to preach again the next Sabbath. As the meeting broke up, a good many Jews and converts to Judaism went along with Paul and Barabbas, who urged them in a long conversation to stick with what they started, to stick with what they started, this living and by God's grace. When the next Sunday came around, particularly the whole city showed up to hear the word of God. Some of the Jews, seeing the crowds, went wild with jealousy and tore into Paul's, contradicting everything he was saying, making an ugly scene. These people didn't like what they were hearing. They got very upset. They got mad. But see, the good thing, some people, there were some true believers there. But Paul and Barabbas didn't go back. Standing their ground, they said, it was required that God's word be spoken first of all to you, the Jews. See, they knew the word. They let these people know. You had your time in the sun. You got the word before everybody else. But then it goes on. But seeing that you want no part of it, See, they want to do their own thing. They left the path. No part of it. You made it quite clear that you have no taste or are inclined for eternal life. The door is open to all the outsiders. The door is open to the world, people. It's open to everybody. It's not just for us here. It's for everybody. And we're on our way through it. Following orders, doing what God commanded when he said, I've set you up as a light to all nations. Y'all get that? We're a light to all nations. We're a light to our household. We're a light to everybody we come in contact with. See, you proclaim salvation to all four winds and seven seas. When the non-Jews outsider heard this, they could hardly believe their good fortune. All who are marked out for real life put their trust in God. They honor God's word by receiving that life. And the message of salvation spread like wildfire all through the region. Can y'all believe that? It said it spread like wildfire. We know what wildfire is, right? Almost every other year, the Cahoon Path catch on like wildfire. They close it down. A whole city caught on wildfire and burned down to the ground. Can you imagine salvation catching on like that, like wildfire? Everybody just in Apple Valley getting saved. Everybody saying, you know what? I love you. I care about you. Instead of getting upset with you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. That would be something that I would love to see. But guess what that takes? It takes us not being spectators. It takes us to be ambassadors. See, some of the Jews convinced the most respected. See, here go the Jews again. Some of the Jews convinced the most respected woman and leading man of the town that their precious way of life was about to be destroyed. See, that happens sometimes when people that knock on your door, you get 7 a.m. sometime. Can I come in and talk to you for a little bit? And sometimes you shut the door. Sometimes you let them on in and you share the word with them. And some of them don't really understand the word. So they go back and they get somebody older that's been indoctrinated. And then they want to come back and fight with you over the word. See, that's our time because they want to cause chaos. They want to cause confusion. See, they take from the Bible, but they won't follow the word. They create their own Bible. Let's keep reading. Alarmed, they turned on Paul and Barabbas and forced them to leave. Paul and Barabbas strutted their shoulders and went on to the next camp, brimming with joy and the Holy Spirit, two happy disciples. They said, you know what? I don't got time for this. I got happy and joy in my life. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to force you to do anything. It's totally up to you how you want to live. But see, let's look at Jeremiah 28 through 9. Once again, Jeremiah 28 through 9. For whenever I speak, I must shout. I shout violence and destruction because the word of the Lord has become to me a reprimand and a mockery and has brought me insults all day long. If I say I will not remember him or speak of his name, then my heart becomes a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot endure nor contain it any longer. As an ambassador, we should all feel how Jeremiah felt. We should be so overjoyed and so filled with the Spirit that we want to tell everybody we come in contact with. Because he said it becomes like fire shut up in my bones. He said regardless, Jeremiah was beat. He had a lot of things happen to him. But guess what? He still proclaimed God's word. Last verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. Once again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 11. And above all things, have fragrant charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. With that, You can choose to be a spectator, or you can choose to be an ambassador. You can choose to hold a title and not do nothing with it. It's totally up to you. Because you can say, well, brother, I ain't holding no title because I ain't doing nothing in the body. I ain't got no calling. I'm not an elder. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not none of that. All you're doing is lying to yourself. Because you hold the title of Christian. You hold the title of ambassador. You hold these titles even if you don't want to hold them. Like I said before, you respect the judge when he hit that gavel. Why not respect God and fear God? If there's anybody that has done something that feels they need to ask for forgiveness, that want to take on water baptism, I know probably a lot of them have been baptized, but just want prayer, just want to be strengthened. Now's the time just to say, you know what? I need prayers. I want to change my life. I don't want to continue to be a spectator. I don't want to continue to tear down. I want to build up. I want to do something differently. Even if it's just teaching a class or just saying, you know what? I just want to pray for people. You can give your number. I'll say, hey, call me when you need prayers. That's a start. You ain't got to get up and just immediately say, let me teach class. You can say, you know what? I can pray for you. Amen. There's simple things that we all can do if you want to. I thank y'all for y'all time.